John chapter 14, we find Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's getting very close to the crucifixion. And at the beginning of chapter 14, he's trying to set them at ease. You see the beginning of chapter 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." In other words, he's telling the disciples, you know, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And by the way, God, today, God doesn't want us to worry either.
Amen.
Worry doesn't help us. It only harms us. Right here, Brother Jones. Thank you. Who else needs a Bible? Anybody else? Good. Thank you, Brother Charles. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. Where is Jesus' Father's house located? In heaven. In heaven. So he's letting them know that, you know, it's okay. There's a purpose of why I'm leaving. It says in verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, verse number 3, he says four words after the word you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, four words. You see him? See him, church? He says, I will come again.
Amen.
Let's say those four words together. Ready? I will come again. Let's do it one more time.
I will come again.
And when you read God's Word, I want to help you with something. You may already know this, but when you read God's Word is truth.
Amen.
Let's go look at another verse, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. That's not the verse I want. Chapter 1. That's the better one. Thank you. That's the one I want. Titus 1. Verse 2. I just got my numbers flipped around. See what it says in Titus 1, 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, let's look at those next three words. You don't have to read them out loud, but just think about these next three words that cannot lie.
Amen.
So that's talking about God. God cannot lie. Now let's go back to what we read a moment ago. John chapter 14. Jesus said what? Remember those four words? I will come again. So, we have God's word that He will come again. So that means that we don't have to wonder tonight if Jesus is coming again. He is coming again.
Amen.
He says it right here, plain as day, that He's coming again. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. Now, tonight, we're going to begin to look into some of these things regarding the last days. The last days. Okay? And so, just kind of getting into it a little bit tonight. We will, in no way will we finish it, but we're going to begin to look into this theme of the last days. Matthew 24, verse number 36. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, I will come again. Let's see what it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is in reference to the same return that he's speaking of in John 14. So, tonight we can confidently say Jesus is coming again. There is no if about that. But what we don't know specifically is when Jesus is coming again. In fact, he goes so far as to say, only God knows. Only God the Father knows when he is returning. Now, within Matthew chapter 24, if you'll look back now to the beginning of Matthew chapter 24, we find an outline of events within Matthew chapter 24 of the last days. In fact, if you look with me in verse number 3, you're going to see that there are three questions that are asked of Jesus by his disciples. Okay? Are you in Matthew 24? I'm going to read verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as soon as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, you can kind of imagine this, disciples and Jesus, no one else is there, and they're kind of having a Q&A time now, question and answer time, okay? And they give him three questions. Number one, tell us, when shall these things be? That's the first question. The second question is, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Remember what he said in John 14? I will come again. So, what's going to be the sign of your coming? And number three, and what is the sign of the end of the world? He asks them these three questions. We're going to kind of look at some of these. We're going to look at these three questions. I don't know that we'll look at all three of them. But the answers to all three of these questions can be found within chapter 24 of Matthew. Okay? So the first question, when shall these things be? As we think about the last days, we see in our Bible several characteristics about the last days. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24 as we examine some characteristics of the last days. Look with me, if you will, first off at verses 5 and 11. 5 and 11. Jesus says, for many shall come in my name. Now he's answering the questions. This is what you're going to see happen in the last days. This is what you're going to see happen when these things are going to take place. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall what? Deceive many. Look at verse 11, please. And many, what's the next word? False prophets. False prophets. So deception again. Many false prophets shall rise and shall what? Deceive many. Verses 5 and 11, we see twice, we see the word deceive. We see false prophets. We see there in verse number 5 that they'll even say, I am of Christ. And so one thing that we find in the last days is we see a false sense of Christianity. Again, today, in 2018, if somebody says, I'm a Christian, we have to kind of find out, what do you mean by that? Now, false teachers and false witnesses are nothing new. Let's go back into the Old Testament for a few minutes. Turn with me, if you will, in 2 Kings chapter 3. A lot of times we look at current events and we say that, boy, it has never been this bad before. And, you know, and in some ways, there is some validity to that, but I do believe the statement that there's nothing new under the sun. The devil has always been a what? Deceiver. The Bible says in the New Testament, I can't remember the chapter and verse off the top of my head, but he is the father of lies. So if Jesus said that in the last days, there's going to be many prophets that are deceiving, who do you think is their leader? It's not God. It's the devil. For he is the leader and he is the father of all lies. And so anytime someone tries to lead us away from God's word, we need to have some sense, some semblance of an alarm going off in our head. This is not of God. Well, I know what the Bible says, but that's the first sign. That's the first sign that you don't want to hear what's after that word, but. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I have this other book over here. Someone told me this. Look, if it's against the Bible, it's not good for you. If it's contrary to the Bible, it's not good for me. Look what it says in 2 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 13. I'm not going to spend a long time just reading some verses here. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father, and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. You see, they were false teachers, false preachers, if you will, false prophets. And God was going to deliver them or take care of them, if you will. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, verse 25. 44, did I say 45? 44, 25, sorry. I'll read 24 as well. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that made all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolishness. Maketh their knowledge foolishness. We need wisdom. The only way to get wisdom is from God's Word. There's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge that are going to die and spend eternity separated from God in hell with a lot of knowledge. Look at, if you will, in Jeremiah 23. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own what? Heart. I know we've had to turn to these quickly. Jeremiah 23:16. They're speaking to you from their heart. You know what you and I need? We don't need a pastor or a guest preacher simply to tell us something from his heart. Now, you can hear a pastor speak from his heart as long as his heart is speaking from the Word of God. He says here, don't listen to someone that is prophesying unto you. They make vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. Notice, and not, Jeremiah 23:16, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Again, what is the last days signified? What is their characteristics? Let's go back to Matthew 24. There's other verses there I could give you. But it's false Christianity. Living in a day when those that call themselves pastors or priests or some kind of spiritual leader would tell people what they want to hear, not what God's Word says. Minimizing the doctrines of the Word of God and maximizing feeling over fact. Did you catch that? Maximizing feeling over fact. Not all the time when we read God's Word does it feel good. But these are the facts, and this is the Word of God. And the Word of God will not return void. And the Word of God never perishes. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, the only hope you have is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I am a Baptist pastor. You cannot be saved by a Baptist pastor, but you can be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ based on the very Word of God. And so I would encourage you to even consider your own heart tonight as we think about the last days, twisting Scripture to fit my beliefs. You see false Christianity. Notice that what else we see in Matthew 24, verse 6. Jesus said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Folks, this has been happening since the very time of the writing of the Bible, since the very time of Christ. Nation rising up, kingdom rising up. We call this national and international conflict. It continues to this day. Just listen to the news and you'll hear of conflict. I'm here to say tonight that we are as much in the last days as they were right here in Jesus' day. There's nothing left to be fulfilled within the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. As He said, I will come again. Look at verse number 7 as well. We see natural disasters, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. These things are continuing today and accelerating. To me, I know some of it has to do with media, because with media today, we hear about things a lot faster, don't we? Something can happen halfway across the world 20 years ago, and we wouldn't know about it for who knows how long. But today, it happens hours from us, time zones from us, and we know about it instantaneously. And so that's obviously also, I believe, part of what Jesus speaks about here in another way. Look at verse number 9. Again, He's telling them, when shall these things be? The first thing we're looking at is these characteristics of the last days. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my what? Name. For my name's sake. You know this to be true. Maybe you've experienced this. You can talk about God all day with people. If you meet the wrong person and you start to talk about Jesus, now you've just taken it to a whole new level. Because we can talk about God in every religion and it won't offend people. When we start talking about the only way to God is through Jesus, now we've eliminated Buddha. Now we've eliminated Muhammad. Now we've eliminated any kind of other teaching away from the Word of God. And when Jesus, in His own words, in that chapter, by the way, John 14, verse 3, where He said, I will come again. If you look down a little bit further later in your Bible time, Bible reading, to verse number 6, Jesus said this to the disciples, or to Thomas and the disciples. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's not through Pastor Turner. It's not through Pastor Nathan. It's not through the baptismal waters. It's not through sprinkling. It's not through chanting. It's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Now you say, that's narrow teaching. No, that's the Bible way. And it is narrow teaching. Jesus even said it Himself, that it is a narrow way that leads to life and a broad way that leads to destruction. And so, we see that religious persecution is part of the day. You know what? I wrote down in my notes, I have never experienced religious persecution like many, many people. You know that in many parts of the world tonight, there are men and women in jail because of their beliefs that I have. Same beliefs I have. But they're in jail. There are people in heaven tonight who went there because they were killed for their faith. We call them martyrs. These are not martyrs who blow themselves up. These are martyrs who say, I'm not recanting, I'm not giving up my faith, and they die for it. That's the persecution I've never had to face. I don't understand that type. I would like to think I would be willing to not give up my faith like they would. But I wrote down in my notes, we need to be praying for those facing serious persecution, because it is very real. Very real. Notice though in verse number 12, I've underlined this verse in my Bible some time ago. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity shall abound. When false teachers abound, so does sin. By the way, iniquity is another word for sin. I don't think you have to open your eyes very big to see that iniquity abounds today. We are living literally in a day where what was once clearly labeled as sin is now up for negotiation. not by Bible believers, but by the society in which we live. Sin always cools my love for God. See what that verse says? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The last days, there'll be an abundance of sin. An abundance of sin. But also we see something interesting. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom. By the way, the gospel, the good news. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Can you imagine the disciples hearing that back in that day? The end is not going to come until all the world hears the gospel. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. Can you imagine them hearing that and wondering and scratching their head and wondering, how are we going to get the gospel to the whole world? Can you imagine people reading the Bible 300-400 years ago and wondering, how is it going to be possible that we can get this gospel literally around the world? We don't have the capabilities here, but many churches do, to live stream the service. And they'll have a camera playing, and over the internet, the gospel can be preached, and anyone around the world that has an internet connection can pull up that preaching service. They can be time zones away from here, and they can hear, they can see the gospel being preached. Literally, I have been in some very remote places where people have those little Nokia cell phones. The Philippines was one place. Liberia was another place. I mean, out in the middle, my BlackBerry, even with a little cell phone card from that country, didn't pick up anything. But this little, teeny little cell phone that had a better antenna inside of it or something. Here I am standing on this little hilly area calling my wife from Liberia, and it's clear as day. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. By the way, this was the mission of the disciples. What was the mission of the disciples? Was to spread the gospel. That has not changed in 2018. It must be the mission of God's church to spread the gospel. I sense in this day a need for urgency. Let's just quickly add to this, and then we'll pick it up here next week. Go with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The last days. Jesus said what in John 14? I will come again. You know what? Think about this. We don't know when. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be covering this. When Jesus returns, he will not return to the earth. We'll be covering this. He'll be returning only into the clouds. We call that the rapture. We're talking about that as we move through this. That's going to begin a 7-year period known as the tribulation. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, he is going to return to earth. We call that the revelation. The rapture, he's going to be in the clouds. He's not going to come down to the earth. Again, we're going to look at this in the Bible. But he's going to be in the clouds, and all Christians are going to be caught up. That's it. No one else will be caught up. And we'll go to heaven with the Lord Jesus, those that are alive and remain. Everyone else will be left on this earth. This is why it's an urgent matter for we who know this. If we believe that Christ could come at any moment, if we believe that he is coming again, If we believe that only believers, only born-again believers, will be caught together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If we really believe that, then there must be, there should be, a sense of urgency to let others know of the grace and goodness of God. For God so loved the world. Folks, that message, we must continue to share that message, because as soon as the trumpet sounds, the dead rise, then we which are alive and remain, that begins something of great persecution. The first 3.5 years, the tribulation, it's going to be child's play. You get into that second 3.5 years of the great tribulation, it's not going to be pleasant at all. By the way, if you don't know Christ tonight, I'm not here to scare you. But I'm here to warn you from the Bible. You do not need to face the wrath of God. You do not need to face the wrath of God, because the wrath of God was put on Jesus Christ on the cross. It is why God turned His back on His Son. I shared this with somebody the other day, that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the lights went out. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it went from being a beautiful sunny day to black. Why? Because God could not look at His own Son, because His wrath was placed on the back of His Son there on the cross. My sin debt, your sin debt, Brother John, David, your sin debt, all of our sin debt was placed on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was paid for right there on Calvary. Why would anyone want to turn their back on the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? I'll never know. It's available to you. It's available to you tonight. Notice what it says, though, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We can summarize this age, these last days. We're going to just look at the first one, and we'll pick it up next week. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, by great moral decay. Moral decay. Notice what it says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Think about that statement right there. Despisers of those that are good. I have to say, I'm not good. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. But I have been greatly despised by people many times over when I've been trying to offer them the gift of eternal life. Good is evil. Evil is good. Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. By the way, some of these that we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are not just in the area of lost people. I believe we see some of these in the church. Would you not agree that there has been times in your life, don't raise your hand, where you have loved pleasure more than God? Before you quickly say no to that answer, just think about that for a minute. Having a form of godliness, verse 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I just want to emphasize before we close tonight, this word form. Take a look at it if you will. Thank you for listening. I know that it's even warmer down here. Notice this word form, though. This word form means an appearance. An appearance. I wrote this down. An appearance does not always prove genuineness. Never read a book by its cover. I believe we have that today. We have many forms of godliness where it's not genuine. It's simply an appearance. Sitting in church doesn't make me godly. Knowing Christian terms doesn't make me godly. By the way, a form of godliness is only temporary. the appearance. Because as soon as the heat gets turned up, the true heart is revealed. I believe we're going to be challenged more and more as we go into these last days, whether we have a form of godliness or if we truly have the power of God and the genuineness that comes in a walk in His Word. Paul's descriptive list of behavior in the last days describes our society, but unfortunately many Christians. Superficial Christianity has become the norm. Jesus came the first time, Luke 19:10. He came the first time to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost here tonight? You say, no, I know where I'm at. I'm in Burnaby. No, I mean, are you lost? I mean, if Jesus Christ returned, think of this, if Jesus Christ returned in the next 10 minutes, would you still be sitting here? Or would you be raptured up to be with the Lord in the clouds? Folks, Jesus said, I will come again. Well, you know what? I'm just going to keep waiting. I'm just going to keep... Folks, Jesus is speaking now. He's calling now. He's wanting now to save you. He's wanting now to help you. He's speaking to you now. Don't close your ear to Him. You're here tonight. It's not by mistake. I believe God ordained this crowd to be here tonight just like this. And God put it all together. Remember, Jesus said, I will come again. Whether you are unsaved or saved, the question is, are you ready for His coming? As a Christian, there are things I need to do to get ready for His coming. We'll discuss those things as we move into